The Writings of Paul in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. While you're turning in your Bible to that passage of Scripture, let me say two things. We're grateful for every visitor that is here today. We welcome you. Many of you I do not know, but we're delighted to have you. We trust that you will be coming again to worship with us. We want you to feel at home today. We want you to feel that for this time, this is your church, and you're here to receive from God. Tonight, the Lord being my helper, I'm going to preach a sermon that God has been dealing with me about for, I suppose, 6 or 8 months. But I never could feel that it was the time to speak on the subject. But the thing was going over and over in my heart. And tonight I'm preaching on the subject, the end time and the great white throne judgment. I hope you will be present. If you have unsaved loved ones, you could not get them into a better service for a sermon directed to them than this service would be. So come praying, believing God with us, and be here tonight for a great time in the Lord. This morning, a subject that has been dear to my heart for a number of years, and it's a thought that has helped me to weigh a lot of decisions that I've made. I'm preaching on the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 9 says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." I want to read that 10th verse to you again. It's a powerful verse of Scripture. "For we must all," Paul includes himself here, "for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Many times people get the idea that heaven and the judgments and all that's going to take place is going to be in one great mass of gathering. And we're going to all come together for one great gathering. And he's going to weed out the sinners and the saints. But this isn't true. There is a white throne judgment which has to do with sinners. This judgment this morning, every person that will be there will be a Christian. And the Christian will be judged. The judgment that I'm speaking of this morning has nothing to do. There will not be one sinner who has not been saved by his grace at this judgment. Not one. Every person there will be a child of God. Every individual standing there will know him and own him as their Lord and as their Savior. And they will behold him. But this shall be an awesome time. It shall not be a time of rejoicing at this moment. Because all of our works are going to go under scrutiny and judgment. And the all-just Lord and Savior is going to judge us according to those things we have done. Don't let me confuse you this morning, because I am not saying that you earn your salvation. Salvation is a free gift, and every person that is saved, they accept it as a free gift. But after you are saved, after you know Jesus as your personal Savior, then the faith that you have in Jesus, the faith that you have in heaven, the faith that you have in hell, The faith that you have in the rapture of the church will cause your works, your actions, to show forth to the world what you believe. Paul says, by my works you can see my faith. Amen. This is why so few people see much done today in their own lives, because you can measure the faith they have by the works they're doing. If you really believe that Jesus Christ is about to come, if you really believe that the rapture of the church is about to take place, if you truly believe that, then you will be doing everything you can to reach every person you can with the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you really believe that hell is a place of fire that burneth forever and ever, if you really believe that hell is going to be an eternal place, that there is no end, that the fire is forever there, that the souls that go to hell will never be released, then you will be doing all you can today to reach your mother, to reach your father, to reach your brother, to reach your sister, to reach your children, to reach your husband or your wife or whoever it may be. You'll do all within your power to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you really believe that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby that we must be saved, save the name of Jesus Christ, then you this morning will rise up with all the vigor you have, with all the zeal you can muster, and you will lift that name above every name on the face of the earth, that men may be drawn unto him and they might be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Men who say they believe in Jesus and then live after the world, they are liars and the truth's not in them, so John says in 1 John in his letter. Amen. Men who say they believe that Jesus Christ is soon to return and then they live for the things of the world, John, they speak not the truth. The truth is not in them. Amen. Do you realize, friend, what we're seeing today? When a man really believes, when he really believes that except he know Jesus in a personal way, that he'll be eternally lost, then that throws a different light on it. Amen. Someone says to me, Pastor, why do all of those people, I was asked this a few weeks ago, why do all of those people kneel around the front? If they're happy as Christians, why do they kneel there and weep and sob and pray so long? And I said to him, I said, sir, you see, and I pointed to some of the people, I said, you see this mother over here? I said, she has a son that is not a Christian. Her heart is very heavy. I said, you see that person kneeling beside? I said, their home is on the rocks. And she's earnestly interceding that God will save her home before it goes to pieces. I said, you see this couple kneeling down here? There were several still in the altar, and I was pointing them out. I said, that little couple there are praying earnestly for their parents that God will save them. I said, that's why you see those tears on that altar. No, they're not sorry because they found Jesus. They're not sad because they found Jesus, but they're burdened for those that know him not, and they're spilling tears before Almighty God that they may come to know the blessed Lamb of God. How can a mother say she loveth the Lord and travail not for her own children that are lost? How can a daddy say that I believe that there's none other name whereby that men must be saved save the name of Jesus, and then use that name in vain and cursing and swearing? It cannot be. It cannot be. They who really believe this gospel, they who really believe this truth, their works will show it, Frank. They'll show it. Hallelujah. Oh, that's something I appreciate about so many of the people here at First Assembly. Man, Wednesday night is just as important to them as a Sunday morning is. It matters not with them because they believe. Hallelujah. They believe the truth, and they know that apart from this truth, there is no hope. They know that apart from
from this gospel, there is no hope. Every man that believeth not in the Son of the living God, he shall be damned. This is not what Brother Gorman thinks. This is not what the Assemblies of God think. The Bible says, Jesus Christ emphatically says, go and teach all nations, and he that repenteth and believeth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And every individual that believeth not in the Son of the living God, he hath not life, but he that believeth in the Son of God hath life, hallelujah, and also hath life beyond this veil of tears. Hallelujah. These are the words of your Lord and your Savior. And when we believe that, hallelujah, after almost 2 years of preaching through the means of radio, I've come to the point now in the last 6 months that I really feel what I'm saying. And I can feel the communication by the Spirit, and I feel that I'm reaching people. And I feel that I'm touching people. And sometimes I have to stop for a moment because I know that when I begin to weep, you can't understand me. But the tears course down my cheeks because I feel what I'm saying, and I feel this reaching heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sitting in this service this morning are people who were saved because they felt that same thing. Amen. Sitting in this service this morning are people who were at these altars this past Wednesday morning for the first time seeking God because the message reached them. Amen. There is reality in what we believe. And if we believe it, our works will show it. Hallelujah. Our works will portray what we believe. Then someone says, Brother Gorman, you know, I really don't understand how that all the hypocrites and all of these, forget that. There will be no hypocrite at this judgment. Amen? None. The hypocrites are going to be at the next one, but not this one. The person who has not lived the life, they won't be at this judgment. No, 1,000 times no. The person who has hated, the person who has bitterness and envy, malice in their heart, they're not going to this one. No. No. They're not ready. You see, only Christians will be at this one. Only those who know the Son of the living God personally will be at this judgment. And Paul said, we'll all be there. We'll all be there. Now here's where the fear comes to me. Someone says, but I'm afraid I'll stand before the Lord and be rejected. No. When you draw your last breath, when you breathe your last time, you then will go to heaven, a place of paradise of rest, or you'll go to hell, a place of torture till the day of judgment. There'll be no separating of the people at this point. It'll be the judging us according to our works. My fear is that I would somewhere along the way allow myself to let something interfere with my life that after I have preached to others, I myself would be a castaway. Paul says, I fear lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. There is that danger of letting self. There is that danger of letting people. There is that danger of letting things come into our life that would cause us to lose the touch of God upon our soul and be eternally lost. Even after I have preached unto others, and have seen them come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, But I've seen many, many souls find the Lord at the close of a sermon that I preached. It would be a horrible thing to not make it. And yet, the power is in my hands. I choose. I do as I desire to do. No man makes me. The church is not to blame. Oh, I've heard that so much until I'm so sick and tired of it. The church did this, the church did that. The church can't damn a soul, and the church can't save a soul. Amen. You are what you are today because you have decided and chose and wanted to be what you are. And every person who wants to be different can so be by their own choosing. There will be only sinners who want to remain in sin leave this building this morning. But every sinner that wants to be redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God will walk to this altar today. And when they drop on their knees, Brother Foster, and ask for his help and his mercy, they'll be redeemed. They'll walk away from here a saved person. Hallelujah. No sinner will leave this building today in sin unless he wants to leave here. No person will leave this building today a hypocrite unless they want to leave here that way. Every person that will, the Bible says, whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. You don't have to remain in sin. You don't have to remain in that state of bondage. You can be set free today. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. This past Wednesday morning, a little lady that I was praying with right over here, Mrs. Fitzgerald, says, oh, but I just can't believe. Somehow I'm just blocked. And I began to take her into the scripture. And in a few moments, the Holy Spirit began to open her understanding. And a smile broke over her face. And she says, I see it now. I see it now. And she walked out of this place with a smile on her face because she had been set free by the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that same grace is here today to set every person free who wants to be free. Hallelujah. Friend, I want you to know that I plan to be at the judgment seat of Christ and not the white throne judgment. I plan to be there to be judged for the deeds done in this body. You say, Brother Gorman, why should we be judged? Well, is it fair? Is it fair that every person would receive the same reward when many have labored more diligently than others? Is it fair that people who have given all should be limited to the same area of those who have not given all? Is it fair? Is it fair that those who have ministered for the praise of men are done things out of other motives other than that motive? No, I'm not saying that sin. But you listen to me very close. There's a lot of people who are receiving their reward right now because what they're doing because that somebody wants them to, not because Christ means everything to them. And some of these people have given up the ways of sin. This is why that Paul says their works will be tested. And there'll be some that'll be wood. There'll be some that'll be hay and stubble. There'll be some that'll be precious stone and gold and silver. And he'll try the works to see of what type they are. And some men will stand there and watch their entire works burned up before them. It will not stand the test. Amen. This is why that I don't care about building a church around me. I want it built on Him. I want you to believe in him. This is why I keep trying to point you to the Word, to the Word, to the Word. It's the Word. Build on the Word. Hallelujah. I don't want to go to heaven just for myself. I want you to be saved. I want you to stand. I want you. I don't want a big church for the sake of a big church. I want a big church because they're people that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Men and women and boys and girls. Hallelujah. I'm glad for our teenagers, but I don't want a large group of teenagers just for the sake of having a large group of teenagers. But I want a large group of teenagers because they're redeemed by the blood. They're saved. They're cleansed. The many programs that we push and we promote. And just this week, I went before God in earnest prayer. And I says, God, I don't want any programs in our church just for the sake of entertainment, just for the sake of a social function. If the ultimate end of that is not to establish people for God, I don't want it, Lord. It's too much of a headache. It's too much worry. And after all, it won't amount to anything anyway. I want these programs because it builds something into the lives of people. I want these programs because it helps to establish them, hallelujah, that in that final day of judgment, the works will not be burned up, but it shall endure. Hallelujah. I want every program that we have, whether it's a youth program or a WMC program or a men's fellowship program, I want those programs to have as their ultimate end and goal to be to establish people in the kingdom of Almighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something else, friend. I believe you can be a Christian. And hear me very closely. I believe you can be a Christian and just kind of sit to yourself. But I wouldn't want to be in your shoes when I stand before God. I believe that. I believe you can just kind of isolate yourself, Frank, and just kind of sit over to one side and be kind to people. But I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. No, sir. I gave him everything. I gave him everything. I don't understand a lot that's going to take place at this judgment. And I'd be a liar to say that I did. But I know the Bible speaks concerning we'll be judged for our words. Every word we'll have to give account for. Every idle word. Now he's speaking to Christians here. And they're going to be judged for that. Also he goes on and he speaks concerning that we will be judged. Read it in the 14th chapter of Romans. The entire chapter deals with this. And also the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew deals with Christian people and their attitudes toward one another. But I'm going to tell you, to me, one of the most humiliating things that's going to be at the white throne judgment is going to be people who thought they were so much, and they trampled, and they talked, and they pushed, and they shoved. But when they stand there, they're going to find that they have nothing, nothing. They stand empty-handed before him. Amen. Not a thing to show. Adrian, it'll be a horrible thing, honey. If you sing, if you work, if you give, if you do everything you can and stand before him with not one soul to show. That's the thing that's going to count. You see, these are the things that weigh so heavily on my heart. Programs? No. I severed myself from that way back yonder. I brought that to the judgment way back there and judged it and said, Lord, I only want to involve myself in that that is worthwhile for the kingdom. But when I stand before him, I want what I have done to be of done because I love him. I spent long hours because I loved you. Lord, I gave my money because I loved you. Lord, I preached because I loved you. Lord, I kept my mouth shut and spoke not back because I loved you. Lord, I did these things because I loved you. Amen? Now, you can say all you want to, that God's going to throw Bob Boswell into the pits of hell because he gets mad and turns around to Brother Davenport and gives him a piece of his mind. But you're just off on the wrong foot, honey. He's not going to do that. But Bob is going to suffer loss. Now, you can go around telling people off and giving them a piece of your mind if you want to, but every time you do it, you're going to suffer loss. If you don't believe it, go back to Brother Moses. And Brother Moses got mad at the people, and when God told him to speak to the rock, he took his rod and he smote the rock. Moses wasn't lost. If he did, I hope I can get lost in the same area, because he's on the Mount of Transfiguration. But I tell you what, he lost the privilege of going into the promised land. Is not that scripture? He could not enter in because he failed to obey God. Hallelujah. And friend, you can do these things, but you're going to suffer. And you're going to suffer severely. But there are some things, friends, that you have to watch. And when you live like this, you're living so dangerously. Because there's only a hairline between that and severing your relation between you and God. This precious young man here can get mad at a young person in the church. Tell him off. But if you don't get victory over that, and go back and say to that young person, forgive me. Forgive me. Then that thing will grow in him and it'll destroy him. How long has it been since you asked someone to forgive you that you have wronged? You were a little sharp spoken to him. You were a little catty. You were a little quick on the trigger. Did you have what it takes to go back and say, I'm sorry. I spoke hastily. I didn't mean that. I want you to forgive me. Amen. Amen. Or did you say, well, they didn't ask me? Friend, I can't help whether you ever do it or not. In the final analysis, there's one boy that I can get to heaven. That's me. I can't take any of you with me. I can point you to the way. I can plead with you. I can talk to you. I can do everything in my power. But in the final analysis, I'm the only one that I can get there. I can lift you up in prayer. So maybe you won't say to me, forgive me. But if I wrong you and ever know it, I'm going to tell you I'm sorry, Frank. Amen. And there's not one of us who's beyond that, that we may, under pressure, say something or do something that we are sorry of. But may heaven forbid that we ever come to the place that we cannot go back and say, I'm sorry. Bob, 90% of the marriage problems I deal with is because both parties have become so stubborn they can't say, I'm sorry. That's a big deal to a person to say, I'm sorry. They'll tear up their home, they'll watch their own children suffer and be drugged through the courts of the land, when if all they would have done is say, I'm sorry, they could have saved it. But they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. If they would have only said, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. What a difference it would have made. Beloved, you watch it. One little thing. Paul says, beware lest a root of bitterness spring up within us that would spoil the whole thing and turn us around. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Amen. When I stand before the judgment bar and I face my Lord and Savior, I will be very frightened in that moment, because I'm frightened even when I have to go before a committee in this life. When I went before the executive committee, when they ordained me, I was frightened.
I knew to the best of my knowledge I had done everything that was required of me. But I was frightened. And when I stand there that day and realize that he's fixing to show me in a moment's time my entire ministry, every sermon I preached, everything that I did is going to go before me, I'd be frightened. And in a few moments' time, it'll be tested. And that which was done for his glory will be accredited to my account. And that is not done for his glory, but out of self-praise or self or vain glory for self, or for some other reason, it will be burned up. When I see my entire work tested, placed under scrutiny, I'll stand there speechless. But I got news for you. I'm doing everything I can to test everything I'm doing, so in that day, it will stand the test. Sure, I want to go to heaven, but to me, it would be a horrible thing to see everything that I've done burned up. That it would not stand the test. That it would not stand the final scrutiny of a master. No, sir. Some people say if I can just make it in. Friend, I've never gone into anything that I just barely wanted to get by with. I detest this in people. Somebody said, Brother Gorman, are you going to try to win? If I'm in it, you can mark it down, honey. I'm shooting to win. And if I'm not shooting to win, I get out. That's right. Someone says, oh, it's just a game. Friend, games are played to be won or lost. I like to be on the winning side. Amen? And I'm not in this thing here just to make it into heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Just to make it into heaven.